Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
We now return to our conversation with Brandon Rollins discussing highways and byways, and we begin with Alex discussing in great detail geographical facts that you probably didn't need to know about New Hampshire. Enjoy.
You know how you said you were studying geography?
Yeah.
Want to know a really random fact here?
What?
You said you drove through the White Mountains.
Yeah. That would be,
And Mount Washington is in the White Mountains because presidential range and whatnot.
Presidential range? So does it like get a new mountain every 4 to 8 years?
Not so much, mountains? But there's...
I don't think we have enough mountains for that.
Well, no.
I mean, we do.
We do. But no,
I don't know.
But the presidential mountain range, a lot of those mountains are actually named after U.S. presidents.
Mount Washington is the biggest... mountain on the eastern seaboard.
Huh.
It is just over a mile, 8,500 feet.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something
it's
like that.
It's pretty high for the East Coast.
Yeah, it's the highest mountain in the entire East Coast. But the valley right there that North Conway is in, and where I'm from, is called the Mount Washington Valley. Mm-hmm. Now, studying geography, do you have an issue with that?
No, not really. Mount Washington Valley.
Because there is an issue with it.
Okay.
And that is that valleys are not named for mountains. They are named for rivers.
Oh.
So you have a Washington River, a Washington Valley, and a Washington Mountain?
Nope. There's no Washington. It's
There's no river. Yeah.
There's no river.
It would be the Saco.
If you cross over the border in the Mount Washington Valley, in the up north there, into Maine... you are suddenly in the Saco River Valley. Yeah, it's a whole tourist marketing gimmick. It's the Mount Washington Valley because it's a prominent mountain and people want to see the mountain.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Mountains people are named... like, Washington is a guy I've heard of.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Pretty much what that's too.
Yeah. So they're dumb. They went, we're going to call it the Mount Washington Valley, even though geographically that is not how you name a valley.
I also love the fact that all the outtakes at the end of the episode are going to be you doing geography facts. I think that's fun for everybody.
Fun fact.
You know, here's another fun fact about Mount Washington. You don't want to take your car up there. There you can get a bumper sticker if you get to the top that says this car has driven up Mount Washington. Don't buy that car.
It says climbed. It says climbed.
Sorry. Climbed.
That's how I killed my first Jeep.
Don't do that. Because going up Mount Washington is like, every mile you go up Mount Washington is like 10 actual miles. Because
it's only an 8-mile drive.
Believe it or not, that is not the highest mountain I would have driven up then.
Really? What would that
be? The highest mountain I would have driven up would be the Mauna Kea in Big Island, Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, that thing's crazy. They got a visitor center at 9,200 feet. That's as high as I got up because they actually had the rest shut off.
Oh wow.
Roads
probably covered in snow at that point.
And it was so heavy. Ooh. Like I at that time I was still I've swapped out distance running for lifting and rock climbing, but at the time I was a distance runner and I'm at 9,200 feet. Like I had run 6 miles a day, 5 times a week for years. Up hills, I mean, because hilly terrain. And I'm up there, and I'm like catching my breath because it's that high up. It popped a bag of pretzels in my trunk.
Oh wow.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't it like anything above 9,000 feet is a lot harder to breathe? I think is where
it's like 9 or 10, but honestly, once you get that close, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, Mount Washington, it's nothing like that. You can breathe fine. Nothing pops like that.
It's true.
Easy. Like, you're sitting up there going, it's nothing different than being on the ground.
Could have also been psychological, too.
Yeah.
So. Maybe you're just crazy.
It could be.
It's not always a possibility.
Yeah. No, up on top of Mount Washington, there's an observatory and a weather station.
Yeah. And it's nice on the few days that it's clear enough that you can actually see. It's,
sounds about right.
It's beautiful when you can see, but it's only really clear, you know, a fraction of the time.
Weather's tricky like that.
Yeah, it is.
It
really is, because you're up pretty high by that point. Mount Washington does boast, though, that it is the home of the world's worst weather.
Recorded,
because it has some of the highest wind gusts and some of the worst storms.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that's because they have a weather station, a giant concrete bunker.
Yes.
A weather station up there. So they have a crew up there year round.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I think they stay up there 3 weeks at a time.
That sounds about right. Yeah. And then
It's 3 weeks on, three weeks off.
I was up there this summer, and it is pretty incredible when you see the cross section of people that are at the summit at the same time. You have like hikers and road trip people that are there that came up on the cog railway, and you have people that came up by their own cars and on the bus lines, and you know, and they're all just sitting in the commissary area, and there's a gift shop, there's a post office at the top of Mount Washington.
Well, obviously there's a post office at the top of Mount Washington.
Dude, those mail carriers, they rain and snow, they're on it.
Oh yeah. It's good times.
We were talking about game design and stuff, right?
I think we were at some point.
I think we were. So what you're saying is you're going to design a game about mountains. Okay, so...
I got to make a mountain game.
Mountain game is next.
I thought we were making a gym game.
Oh, that's how you get your workout.
Why not both, actually, at the same time?
Yeah,
no, exactly. You can make a gym game up at 9,500 feet where you can barely breathe.
Oh, yeah.
Adds a strategic element because you have to get really good at cardio.
Yeah, you know what you call it? Swole Mountain. That's what you call it. Swole
working
Mountain.
Working title. We're going to workshop that.
Yeah, we'll work
Mount,
it.
Mount Swole.
Mount Swole.
Mount Swole.
Yeah.
Mount Ripped.
Yeah.
The Jacked Mountains.
Mountain of
it's
Muscle.
It's also a whiskey game.
Mountain of Muscle. That's mine. Highways and Byways. I don't actually go up a mountain in Highways and Byways, right? Because that would kind of defeat the highway part.
There are mountain roads depicted on the byways, but there is no actual like mountain card if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We actually in an earlier version of the game, we had we were kicking around the idea of having terrain on the board, but it actually just made it look really cluttered, so we dropped that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that might do it. If you had all the mountain ranges in the United States, for instance.
Ooh.
Depicted, it would just, I mean, it would look cool, but it might clutter quite a bit, especially
and scare off new folks.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you're going out west and the mountain ranges out there and the mountain ranges that go from fucking Maine to Georgia. The Midwest would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The West and the East would not be fine.
Yeah.
The Rockies would be an unreadable mess.
Yeah, a topographical overlay would have been a little confusing for folks. Feel.
That's what I'll add the topography when I do a war game version of this.
That sounds fun.
There you go.
Yeah, you can make it a three-dimensional map too.
Highways and Byways, Fury Road.
that would just be in Nevada,
perfect.
Though, right?
Yeah, it'd just be in Nevada.
It'd be fairly flat and desert like.
That's fine.
Is actually a photo rolling like out there on the internet of. It's Mad Max standing over a Highways and Byways board in the desert. Like somebody shopped that and put it on the internet. It's
awesome.
Out there somewhere.
That's so cool. What you did instead, which is probably smart, even though the topography would have been cool, but it's going to be a little confusing, is you just color coded the different sectors of the...
Yeah, just color coding.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, like... When I first saw the board, I said, okay, I can easily identify what I'm doing here. So that's probably the best thing for everybody.
Exactly. You just want it to communicate clearly. That's like the top priority when you're doing this.
Do you have any ideas of what you want to do for stretch goals in this Kickstarter?
So the first three that I've got actually listed there, first thing I'm going to do, I want to... throw in an extra card, just purely decorative, that has Hawaii on one side and Alaska on the other. They're the two states in America that are not represented in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just pure decoration. And that's something to hold us over until we can benefit from the economies of scale and being able to order more stretch goals. right after that, I'd get more construction cards for the game. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, construction shuts down certain roads during the course of the game, mm-hmm. and if I introduce extra ones as a rule variant, you can make it to where you cannot guarantee that if a certain letter has been drawn, it will not come up again.
Oh.
So it will add an extra layer of strategy and probability to the game for advanced players. So that's a little stretch goal. Super easy to add,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I can do that fairly cheap, too.
Yeah.
After that would probably just be like a nice little plastic tray in the game too.
Oh yeah.
Just so you can sort your parts.
Any ideas for extra cars or vehicles?
Yeah. Cause right now it'll just be board and parts in there. And I'll throw in some plastic bags just so like parts are, you know, easy to keep them from getting mixed up. But like a plastic tray would be nicer. It's not necessary though.
Right.
After that, I would like maybe do some extra vehicle cards. That's one thing I'd be interested in doing, so that two people can have the same vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get a horse?
You know, if this thing goes 100K,
we'll put the horse in. Yeah, sure.
I have jokingly promised stretch goals for different vehicles so many times. I promise an ice cream truck at some point. Oh. I'm pretty sure.
You know what?
It'll be like that game that we used to be able to play on the PlayStation. I forget the name of it now.
Oh,
it was where the weapons were, the vehicles were weaponized.
Oh,
and you...
yeah. Oh, damn it. I don't
So really I'm thinking you this. Need an Oregon Trail coach wagon.
Okay. I want to have an old 70s taxi with the caption, "Are you talking to me?" As one.
There you go. That's one.
This is the one I want. Had you ever played Fallout 4?
I'm not sure if I played Fallout 4.
Okay.
Can't remember.
Oh, you want one of those rocket cars?
No, I want a Giddy Up Buttercup.
Oh, jeez.
I want the mechanical horse that you can ride. That's what I want.
I don't think you can fit a family on that.
And here I was thinking of just doing, like, bright orange Priuses or something.
Well, you know, that would probably be a good idea, too, I suppose.
I mean, you could at least have a Prius broken down somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, you know what you do is you add a self-driving Tesla.
I have actually thought about putting self-driving cars in the game.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Because then you can lose to an autonomous vehicle.
You know, that would make for some really interesting AI if I had a single player mode in there.
Oh, that self-driver. Would be a cool idea too. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that the benefit of a self-driving car would be that you could move more spaces because you can sleep in the car while it's driving.
Oh my goodness, that would be so overpowered. But like,
maybe it could have a problem like when it hits construction, it cannot go any better. it cannot go anywhere if it runs into a problem. It just has to wait.
Just waits patiently.
I like Alex's coach idea, but I also don't.
You don't want to die of dysentery?
We already had that game.
The wagon moves,
yes.
0.5 spaces every day.
But it,
and requires you go hunting twice a week.
But you can ford over rivers and lakes.
I was going to say, don't forget, you can ford rivers,
yes.
in that thing.
Yeah, that would be really useful, actually. I kind of want an old Model T.
That would be cool. I could see that.
You know, the Model T probably has some really good benefits. I'm not quite sure what it would be, but...
It was really good in the snow.
It was really good in the snow. That's
mm-hmm.
true. So maybe
those really thin tires.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it would be good in, like, hazards and stuff like that.
I once... was looking at like a fancy Buick Park Avenue car. It was just like, it was a wreck. It smelled like smoke. It had a leak. I wonder if like I could make a car like that. Just a clearly a luxury car, but that is in terrible condition.
Yes.
Like just like a Lexus with a giant like karate chopped bumper in the front.
Oh, you get one of those old roadsters.
Yeah.
Like the one Cruella de Vil drove in the 101 Dalmatians, one of those cars.
Okay.
Basically, the next thing we're going to talk about is all of the wacky racers getting into the game. Snidely Whiplash would like to be in Highways and Byways.
Believe it or not, this is actually the subject of another podcast I recently did.
Jeez.
You know what?
Improv skits, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we were designing a game. It was a comedy skit about designing a game with you were a bus driver and you had to entice people to ride on your bus or something.
Oh, make it look like the Scooby-Doo band.
That was one suggestion, I believe, that was thrown out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it made the cut for the final edit.
I don't know. but that or like Speed Racer, what his car was.
We could do that.
That would be cool. And I
or the movie Speed.
Yeah.
Just have a bus with a bomb on it that can't go in.
But it can't stop.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like vehicle card's ability. Cannot go under 50 miles an hour.
Yes, exactly. It's
if the car stops for any reason, remove it from the game.
Yeah, exactly. You lose if you run into any problems whatsoever.
If you run into a closed highway, you have to jump it.
If you run into the construction, you have to about face or you lose.
If you run into an airport, you have to circle.
Yes. If you... Oh.
Oh my goodness, there's so much going on in Speed.
Oh.
It's actually a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, man. No, I know the car I want now. I figured it out. I want Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, jeez.
And the great thing is, like, the car works really well in a lot of situations, but it constantly, condescendingly second guesses every decision that you make. You have to deal with that. Like, every time you want to make a choice, the car has a different choice it wants to make, and you have to resolve that. So stretch goals by the dozen there, Brandon. We've solved your stretch goal problem now.
Yep, solved.
Didn't know it was a problem that needed to be solved.
Solved is a word.
Or destroyed. I am really intrigued by Highways and Byways, and I like the fact that it's actually geared to a large age range.
Well, thank you. That's something that is really important to me in just designing games. You want to make them open to as many different kinds of people as possible. You can't please everybody, but it helps to try and put things in the game that different groups of people will appreciate for different reasons.
2 to 4 players.
That's right.
So if I have a fifth player, they can just be riding shotgun. I think that's probably...
Yeah, or like a backseat driver or something.
Backseat driver,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the idea of like a fifth person just hovering over the game board going, why did you turn that way? Why did you turn that way?
You know, it's a more efficient route if you go south. Shut up, Dave.
Damn you, Dave. I think the sequel to Highways and Byways, when you get to that, I know that eventually you'll get to that. It will be so popular, you're going to need to do Highways
and Byways. Will it be the Canadian edition?
No, it will be the world. You got to go on a world trip.
I have actually thought about doing a Highways and Byways Europe. Like, if this blows up really, really big, I am open to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Open to doing that. Highways and Byways Canada would just be a red line that basically traces the American border, the Canadian-American border.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, Alaska can be in there at that point, you know?
You know what would actually be really, really neat, I think, is not just the world or Europe or anything. It's like if you did oceanic. Because airplanes are one thing. Oceans have not only winds if you're using sailboats, but there's also the currents in the ocean.
The currents, yes.
That have the specific way that they flow.
Mm-hmm. There are maps. Mm-hmm. There are maps for those sort of things.
Yes, the tide charts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you did something like that, but did it with, like, sailboats, that could be really interesting.
That could be fun to do. I'm not sure how you would do it, but that could be fun if
you
just find the right mechanics for it.
You would have to find the charts for, I forget, it's not the jet stream because that's in the air.
Right, right. Yeah.
But it's the slipstream, maybe?
Yes. Well, that,
or Star Trek. That might be.
you'd have to find the oceanic like flow charts of where the water currents go because they have it all charted out.
Number one, there's a slipstream ahead.
Yes, you've got to.
Number one, teleport.
That would be a fun variant too. Space
teleporting.
No,
I mean space. It doesn't matter because it's.
There wouldn't be any byways in space, I guess.
Highways there's and no... byways, space. And it's just like a black board with a few white dots on it.
No, you want to. to know what, Nathan? Yeah. If you want to do a space thing, I already have an idea for a space game.
Okay.
That I have maybe lost on my files too when my hard drive crashed. The only thing that's hard about space, because there's no friction. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about, you have to worry about celestial objects.
Or construction.
Anything bigger than the size of a nickel.
Right.
Because if it hits you and you're going massive speeds, it causes massive damage. Mm. And the vast distances between things.
Right.
Every space would be like 50 light years.
Yeah.
That would be, if you're doing interstellar, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you kind of have
although
to.
Although, that's a very long distance.
That is. As well. That is.
So I had a thought for a game in space. The issue isn't that you have to worry about all these obstacles and things mostly. It's the fact that if you're launching from Earth and you're going to Mars, you have to plan out the vector of where you're aiming over the course of a 9-month journey.
Oh,
because
okay.
The planets rotate.
Right.
That's true.
So basically the whole game is solved by the time you launch.
No, because things happen between the time you launch and the time that you get to the destination. Because you know this planet will be in that location at the time that you potentially say it should be, if you do the math out.
Uh-huh.
But things might happen to you on your journey.
It's going to be Cult Express in space.
Yes. Mm. You know what? I really like that idea, Alex. I'm really interested in the part where the aliens board the ship. When does
it's
that happen?
It's not a ship, Nathan. It's a probe.
Oh, when do the aliens board the probe?
You ruin everything, Nathan.
You know,
when do the aliens
board the probe? It's a legitimate question.
Nailed it.
That's why we can't take you nice places.
Yes. No, we never can. And boy, if we had a copy of Highways and Byways, we could go to all the nice places. Now, how long has the game been in development?
It's been about a year. It took about 7, 8, 9 months to design it, and the other 3 months have been heavy promotion and getting ready for the campaign.
Your Kickstarter campaign runs through
March 26th to April 20th.
What are you looking at for a timetable to actually get it out to backers?
My goal is to have it to backers by the end of August.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
It's fairly ambitious, but this is exactly fitting with conservative estimates from my manufacturers as well as the fulfillment companies. Like, wow. I took their longest estimates, added a little bit to each one at each stage, and I still got late August.
Wow, that's great. I have backed a few things myself, and I always figure that I'm going to be waiting about a year and change to get the game. So that's really really great to hear, because now I just kind of have that in the back of my mental state when I go to back something on Kickstarter. I think to myself, well, that will be fun in like 16 months to play.
Right.
That.
Well, a lot of times I'll run into a big process problem further on down the line, and sometimes that'll happen, or it won't be complete when they go to Kickstarter. One of those two things.
If you back the game, you should be able to play it this year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And before Christmas, even.
Way before. Yeah,
before Christmas.
Way before Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's one of those things, Nathan, that you see more with other media than necessarily tabletop games for Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For movies or like video games, for instance. It's, they go, hey, we're going to make this, and this is kind of what it looks like now, and we need the money to do it.
Right.
But they're not typically at a point where it's finished or close to being finished necessarily.
Right. Right.
Because they need the money to keep working on it.
Right.
Whereas with tabletop games, I want to say most of the designers we've talked to have been working on it in their free time and not as a full-time job type deal, unless they've already made stuff that they've been able to make this their job.
Right. If you have a few really successful games, that's one way that you can do board games for a living. Otherwise, it's like you've got to do something else on the side. You've either got to help other people make games, you've got to have other passive income streams, or you've got to have services that you sell or something like that. So you have to have like a Scythe or a Gloomhaven kind of IP.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily even. If you can just consistently crank out like fairly big games, that'll do it too.
Alex, I think we should take the podcast on a road trip.
Where are we going?
You know what? Where the heartland of podcasting.
Kansas?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
exactly right. And we're not in Kansas anymore, but I feel like a lot of podcasts go there to find the witch and in that movie. Remember that?
Witch.
Nailed it.
The Wizard of Nailed it.
It's
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
It's Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that one.
I didn't know the Wizard of Oz did a podcast.
Wizard of Pods. And he
that needs to be an actual podcast. That's a good name.
I know a podcast for people who are not wizards, but
the folks out there would like to find more information about Highways and Byways. Where could they go?
So if you go to your browser and you type in bywaysgame.com/Kickstarter, that will take you, depending on when you are doing it, to either the campaign itself or a landing page after that where you can pre-order. So we'll take you to one of those two places. That's where you can go for more information. If you're more interested in the other projects that I'm working on in the blog that I'm writing, that's brandonthegamedev.com. And I just record my whole game development process there.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Try and share as much of my knowledge as I can with other people.
Excellent. Brandonthegamedev.com.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Good resource because you know what you're talking about.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Alex, if folks wanted to know more information about Delve, where could they go?
You can go to brandonthegamedev.com.
and hear him talk about his amazing experience on Delve. But elsewhere.
You can go to delvecast.com.
Yes, and you can find all the episodes of the show and all of the other things that we do over there. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play and all the other handcrafted stores of podcasts. Please rate and review and subscribe when you go. And make sure to follow us on Twitter. I am at Citanium.
I am at EXP Limited, and our show is at Delve Podcast.
And Brandon, can they find you on such platforms?
Yes. If you need to find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, you can just go to Brandon Game Dev. I'll get you to all of them.
Excellent. Excellent. And so I think that we have taken a more circuitous road trip than we probably imagined at the beginning of this interview.
We got lost at the Alamo.
Yes. We were on a road to nowhere, but we've circled back around and we've gone up the country. There's a whole bunch of other songs I'm sure I could put in there. But I want to thank again Brandon Rollins for coming on the show. Brandon, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. And until the next trip that we take, folks, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Peace. I'm in sales pitch mode because this thing's going live in like 36 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you should be in sales pitch mode.
Absolutely.
Then.
Mm-hmm. We
I'm like PBS when they're trying to raise donations.
You don't have a tote bag, though.
No, I don't have a tote bag, no.
No, you have a game.
And you're not getting shut down by the government.
there's something, too.
Too soon?
Yes.
Ouch.
Ouch. Big Bird hates you now. But he doesn't. He's moved to HBO. That's why I edit, so I can edit out my coughs. That's
no, you gotta keep all the coughs in there.
Yeah, now I do. That's the new.
It's hyper-realism.
Yeah, that's a.
Last time we recorded, we made it in ASMR, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You leave the coughs in.
You'll get a random 30-minute segment of Behind the Delve where the two of us just talk ad nauseum about stuff that has completely off subject. At the $10,
we're just gonna give them a bunch of geography stuff.
Yeah, exactly. at the elite $10 level, we'll send you random texts at 2 a.m. just for your amusement. Just like, this is what we're spitballing for a Patreon, guys. I hope you like it.
That would actually be a lot of fun, just random texts.
I think so.
I mean, I'm up at 2 a.m. I'm up whenever, really. Nice. I work overnights.
You're working in the Stone Age. Just use something like Textedly or Calling Post to send out those texts automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just have robots do it for you.
Oh, yes.
You gotta get the robots.
You'll just, like, send it out at, like, 1:46 Eastern time. I just had the best idea.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Noodles and pretzels at the same time. You guys.
Oh, my God. Actually, no, I can't get behind that. I can't get behind that.
For a second, you're there. No.
Yeah, two sources of carbs. I don't know. I can't get behind that at the same time.
No, it's just too carb loaded. You don't want that.
No. I love carbs.
Yeah.
I'm not on any sort of diet.
Yeah, and that reminds me of carburetors. And that reminds me of carbs.
Segway champ.